This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 18 through 25. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. And the Bible reads, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inward as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hope for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently."
I believe. Come on. Can y'all hear me? Test. Can y'all hear me? Hello? There we go. Come on. Okay. Good. I believe that inside of each one of us this morning that we have an ache. And that ache is this feeling that there's something not right with the world and there's something not right with me. And sometimes that ache is really strong. Sometimes that ache is really soft. But the ache is always there. And there are some days where that ache is so intense. And those are the days where maybe we lose a loved one. Or the days where there's some kind of tragedy, like the school shooting in Kentucky this past week. Or times where someone is struggling with an illness. I have a preacher friend who has an 8-year-old son that before Christmas was diagnosed with leukemia. And so now they're going through chemo treatments and all the side effects of all of that. He posts updates on Facebook just about every day. They're in and out of hospitals now. And I read those updates and I feel that ache. Something's not right in this world. But then there are days where that ache, it just kind of gnaws at us in the pit of our stomach. For example, we feel that ache when we're driving home from work after another mind-numbing day of work. Or we feel that ache after we've had another argument with our spouse, another bad argument. Or we feel that ache when we realize that everybody else was invited to the party, but somehow I was left out. Or we feel that ache when we look in the mirror and we realize, I'm getting old. I'm aging. Heard someone say amen. I hope they weren't talking about me. We feel that ache, and it just gnaws at us. It just creeps at us. It's just always there. Something's not right with me. Something's not right with the world. And we can act like the ache's not there. We can entertain ourselves to where we don't think about the ache. We can medicate ourselves with drugs and alcohol to try to make that ache go away, but it doesn't go away. It's always there. And so we become a Christian. Because we think that'll fix the ache. We'll be baptized into Christ and give our life to Jesus, and our sins are washed away, and we receive God's Spirit. And it helps. It helps the ache. We're part of a spiritual community called the church, and that helps too. But even still, as a Christian, that ache, it's still there. And we start to get nervous and we think, well, maybe something's wrong. Maybe I'm not going to church enough. Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe I'm not reading scripture enough. Maybe there's something wrong with the church that I'm going to. Maybe I need to go to a different church. Maybe the preacher's not doing a good job. Because that ache, it's still there. And why is it still there? Why do I have this ache? John Foreman and his music group, Switchfoot, I think tapped into this ache, this feeling that we have in their song, Meant to Live. The song came out in 2003, became an instant hit. And the chorus of the song says this. It says, we are meant to live for so much more, but we've lost ourselves. Somewhere we live inside. Somewhere we live inside. And then in the bridge, the song says, we want more than this world has to offer. We want more than this world has to offer. We want more than the wars of our fathers. And everything deep inside screams for a second kind of life. And I think what Foreman was trying to say in that song is, I want a do-over at life. I want another life. I want to try again at life because the life I have right now, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the world and there's something wrong with me. There's an ache that he felt. There's an ache that we all feel. And why do we have that ache? And where does it come from? And what can I do about it? I think the answers to those questions are found in what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. But to understand what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, we've got to do a little theology this morning. And so if you can bear with me, don't worry. I've got some helpers who are going to help us do some theology this morning. And so first, Debbie, come up here and stand up here. She's going to hold a sign for us. This is Debbie Torres. And her sign says, Broken World. But the first thing we need to understand is that we live in a broken world. That when God created this world, he declared it to be good. And when he created each one of us, he declared each one of us to be very good. But then sin entered the world. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are placed in the Garden of Eden. And God tells them, there's one tree you're not to eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Any tree else you can eat of, but not that one. And then Eve is tempted by the serpent, and Eve tempts Adam, and they decide to eat of that tree. They decide that they want to turn their back on God, rebel against God, disobey his command, and explore moral freedom, live life on their own. And when they take a bite of that fruit, sin enters the world, and with sin comes sin's curse. And immediately, Adam and Eve experience this and feel this as they experience nakedness and shame and guilt. They start blaming one another and they start hiding from God. But it isn't just Adam and Eve who experience the curse of sin. It's creation itself. Creation becomes cursed. And now where fruits and vegetation grew, now there's thorns and thistles growing. And now creation, the only way it's going to bear fruit is if you work with hard labor and hard toil. And all of a sudden, God's good world became a broken world. And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, where he says, for creation was subjected to frustration. And that word frustration is literally the word meaninglessness. Creation became meaningless, became void of purpose, became frustrated, broken. He goes on to say in the next verse, in verse 21, that it became bondage, held in bondage to decay. The decay now rules over our world. And we see evidences of our broken world all the time, right? It's just like something doesn't work right in our world. Our world is just a little off. We have these tsunamis that destroy whole cities. We have earthquakes that shake our structures to the core. We have tornadoes and hurricanes and volcanoes that destroy landscapes. We have all of these natural, terrible disasters. And creation doesn't work right. Everything you plant doesn't always grow. Look at my front yard. The animals, somebody said amen, and I don't appreciate that. The animals don't always behave in this world. Just look at my dog. Weather doesn't always cooperate. Just look at our state of Texas. Weather doesn't cooperate with us. Something doesn't always work right in this world because it's subjected to frustration. It's broken. But it's not just creation that's broken. It's you and me that's broken. There's something wrong with us. That in our mind and in our heart and our soul, we don't always do what we know we ought to do. Our relationships don't always fulfill us. Our work doesn't always satisfy us. And our sense of justice is not always fair. Instead, there is abuse and selfishness. Because we're selfish, we want to get as much as we can in this world, and we hold our resources in instead of sharing them with others. And because of that, there's striving in the world between nations and between cities and between families, all trying to get what they can get out of this world. And even when we know in our hearts that what we're doing is wrong, we can't stop doing what is wrong because in our heart we have this selfish bent because we're broken. We're in a broken world. There's a movie a few years ago that came out called As Good As It Gets. Story of this gentleman who struggled with a mental illness. He was obsessive compulsive. And that meant that he was always obsessing over things. He was very compulsive over different things. He had to do the same thing over and over again. Had to go to the same restaurant. Had to speak to the same person. He was terrible at relationships. And so he decided he was going to go to a psychiatrist to get help. And so he goes to the psychiatrist's office, but he's not really receiving the kind of help that he was hoping to get. And he walks out of the office into the waiting room, and there's this little scene in the movie where he looks at all these people waiting because they all have some kind of mental illness or mental struggle, and he just kind of blurts out, "What if this is as good as it gets? What if this broken world is as good as it gets? Maybe this is what we have to look forward to, this world that's full of abuse and it's full of frustration, full of meaninglessness, full of selfishness. Maybe this is as good as it gets." And the message of the gospel of Jesus is that the answer to that question is no. This is not as good as it gets. Instead, there is a promise for new creation. That God has promised that someday He is going to restore this broken world and bring about a new creation. And He demonstrated that He was going to do that when He sent Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus came into our broken world, but He was the perfect Messiah. And His ministry was about pushing back the curse of sin. And so He healed the sick. And He cleansed the leper. And He caused the blind to see. And He helped those who were captive to be set free. And He raised the dead. He was pushing back the curse of sin. He was bringing forth the kingdom of God. And then He died on the cross, taking the weight of sin upon Himself. But not just taking sin upon Himself, but breaking the power of sin. Breaking the power of sin. And then God raised Jesus from the dead, declaring that sin and death and decay are no longer going to rule, but instead God is going to rule. And there's going to be life, and there's going to be victory. And Paul says that that resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15, that resurrection is the first fruits of what is to come. It's just the beginning of what God is going to do a whole lot of, that we all are going to be raised. We're all going to have new lives. We're all going to have new minds. Our minds are going to be restored. We're going to have souls and wills that are renewed, and we're going to have bodies that are redeemed. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 23, he says, "We wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And then earlier in verse 21, in talking about creation, because this renewal and restoration is not just for us as human beings, it's for creation itself as well. That creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. That what God is going to do is He's going to take this broken world and He's going to take us as broken people and He's going to fully restore us, fully redeem us, fully resurrect us by His resurrection power found in His Spirit, and there's going to be a new creation. God's going to make all things new. That's the story and the promise of the gospel. God's going to bring about a new creation. Maybe a good way to illustrate this is with Achill Island. Achill Island is right off of Ireland, and there's this coast on Achill Island that strangely, several years ago, there was this storm, and it just sucked up all of the sand from that beach, and it left the beach looking like this, where all there was just rocks and jagged edges, where if you were to walk on that beach, I mean, who would want to sunbathe on that beach? I mean, you're going to cut your back, you're going to hurt your feet. I mean, it was a terrible place. Well, just a couple years ago, there was another storm, and strangely and mysteriously, that storm dumped a whole bunch of sand on that beach. And now look at the picture of the beach. Isn't that incredible? I want to go to that beach, don't you? But isn't that a good illustration of the broken world and new creation? Right now, we're living in a broken world, and you got to be careful where you step. You got to be careful where you lie down, because you might cut yourself, because there's a lot of rocks, a lot of jagged edges. But someday, the promise of the gospel is God's going to make all things new. There's going to be new creation. And so in the middle, between a broken world and a new creation, this is where we live. This is where we are. In conflict between where we are in this broken world and in the promise of what is to come of new creation. Scholars have used two terms to describe this conflict in which we live, and those terms are already and not yet. And I've got two brothers to stand next to me here. And I think this shows the conflict that we have. That on the one hand, already we get to experience some of the new creation. That we get the first fruits of the Spirit. We get the deposit of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life when we become a Christian. And we get to experience some of that new creation, that new renewal in our life. We start experiencing fruits of the Spirit. We start showing more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness in our life. We start to grow as children of God. We get to be a part of a church family. We get to see God's people bringing about renewal in the world through His Spirit. And so already we're starting to experience some of that creation, even though we're in a broken world. But then we also have this not yet. Because not yet do we have this full new creation. Not yet have we been fully redeemed in our bodies. Not yet is the world made new. Not yet is all sin and the curse of sin removed. It's not yet. And so we struggle. Even as a Christian, we struggle and we have pain and we grieve death and we struggle with illness and we hurt and we lament and we ache. We ache for what is to come. Paul calls that ache a groan. We groan. And not only do we groan, creation groans. All of creation groans for the not yet, for what is to come. Already we get a piece of it, but we groan for what is to come. Maybe an illustration for this conflict are the two songs that we sang before my sermon. Did you realize that you sang two songs that said the exact opposite about the same subject? Did anybody catch it? Do you care about what you sing? I'm just joking. On the one hand, we sang a song that said, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And then we sang, "This is my Father's world. It's wonderful. It's great." Now, how could we sing both of those songs at the same time and they be true? It's because of this already, not yet. Because sometimes we have days where we lean more towards the already. And God's Spirit is working in our life, and we can feel His presence, and we see God in creation, and we see God in God's people, and we think, "This is my Father's world. He created it. It's pretty good. Things are going okay." And then we have days where we lean more to the not yet, where we lose a loved one, and we have to bury them, where we have to go to the hospital, where we struggle, where we hurt, where relationships let us down, where we see natural disasters and tragedies in our country and all over the world, when we see global poverty, and we think, "This world is not my home, and I'm just passing through it. And oh Lord, You know, I have no friend like You, and if heaven's not my home, if there's not a not yet, if there's not a new creation, then Lord, what will I do?" Because I ache. I ache for what is to come. This is the tension in which we live. This is our conflict. This is what we groan about. This is what we ache about. Larry Crabb, in his book, Inside Out, I think described our ache really well. He said this in his book. There we go. "Beneath the surface of everyone's life, especially the more mature, is an ache that will not go away. It can be ignored, disguised, mislabeled, or submerged by a torrent of activity, but it will not disappear, and for good reason, because we were designed to enjoy a better world than this, and until that better world comes along, we will groan for what we do not have. The already, not yet tension. We groan for that new creation. Let's give our sign holders a round of applause. Thank you, guys. And so what do? How do we remain faithful in this already not yet tension? And Paul's answer, his answer to our ache is this. We hope. We hope. We put our hope in what is to come. We trust in what is to come. We believe that God is going to finish the story that He started. We put everything we have in God, knowing that He's going to make all things new. And we believe it, we trust it, we put our faith in it, we hope in it. And what Paul is telling us in Romans 8 is not that our hope in new creation is going to make that ache go away. It's not. You can't make that ache go away. There's so many people in this world that they try to put their hope in other things, thinking those other things are going to make that ache go away. You can't make yourself have the best life ever here now. Because we're in a broken world. And we're broken human beings. And if you're putting hope in your retirement account, if you're putting hope in that second home, if you're putting hope in that career, you're putting your hope in the wrong thing. You need to put your hope in the new creation of God. That's what's going to fix everything that's broken. It's when God makes all things new. And He's already begun making all things new in us through His Spirit. And as that happens, as we see that happens, we put our hope in God. This is why Paul says in Romans 8, in verse 24, "For in this hope we were saved." In this hope we were saved. What he's saying, I think, is that when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized with an eye towards the future. We were raised to walk in newness of life out of that water, but not completely. We're raised with our sins forgiven, with God's Spirit inside of us, but we haven't been fully raised and fully redeemed. And so as we're saved with an eye to the future that someday God's going to finish what He has started in me. Someday my body is going to be redeemed. Someday I'm going to rise from the dead. Someday I'm going to be a part of that new heaven, new earth, a new creation, and God's going to make me completely new. And it's that hope, church, it's that hope that sustains us in the meanwhile. It's that hope that helps us to keep putting one foot in front of the other when we can't walk anymore. Because we know soon God's going to finish His promise and all things will be made new. Rick Warren, the famous preacher for the Saddleback Church out in California, had a huge disappointment in his life a few years ago when his son, who had struggled with mental illness, decided to commit suicide. And after that happened, and a little while later after that, someone asked Rick Warren, "How were you able to make it through that? What was it that sustained you through that time? How did your faith in God help you during that huge disappointment?" And here's what he said. He said, "If you think about it, Jesus died on Friday. The disciples were confused and waiting on Saturday. And then Jesus was raised on Sunday. And so on Friday there was grief. On Saturday there was confusion and waiting. And then on Sunday there was joy and victory." And he said, all throughout our life, we're going to go through those 3 days over and over again. We're going to have days like Friday where there is grief and where there is struggle. We're going to have days like Saturday where we're confused and where there's ambiguity, where we're waiting, and then we're going to have days of joy and victory. And he said, whenever we have a Friday, it's the hope of Sunday that helps us get us through Saturday. And I think that's true for all of us today. We were born into a world that is a Friday, that's broken and full of grief, full of struggle, frustration, meaninglessness, but there's a promise of Sunday. And church, Sunday's coming. We know Sunday's coming because Jesus was raised from the dead. And He's the first fruits of what is to come. And God has given us the deposit of His Spirit. Sunday is coming, church. New creation is coming. And creation is standing on its tiptoe, Paul says. Standing on its tiptoe, waiting for Sunday to come. And here we are in Saturday. Waiting. And it's that hope of Sunday that helps us make it through Saturday. In the meanwhile, in this conflict, it's our hope that sustains us now. We're going to have a time invitation, and our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. And let me just say to you that if you came here this morning and you have a huge ache, and it's very intense because we're in a broken world and it's kind of broken you down a little bit, I want to encourage you to walk to one of our ministers and elders during this time invitation and just say, pray for me. Remind me of the hope that we have in new creation. Remind me about that. Pray with me about that, because right now I'm struggling. I want to encourage you to do that. Or maybe you want to be baptized into Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have any hope right now. But once we become in Christ, once we're baptized, we are saved in hope. We are saved, our sins are washed away, and we have hope of a new creation. And if you're ready to take that step of baptism, we want to encourage you to do that. Just come to the front during this song. Let's stand and let's sing as we respond.